So today's scripture is asking difficult questions. We ask a lot of questions in our lives, some easy, like, honey, have you seen my glasses? Yeah. And some hard. Why? Why did this happen to me? Some of those hard questions we ask are challenging because we know the answer to the question will require something of us. For instance, if I ask, what can I do to help? What can I do to earn your forgiveness? What do I need to do to be stronger during such challenging times? Or how do I earn my place in heaven? All of those questions have some demanding answers. In our passage today, the man asked a really difficult, deep question, a question that he may not have been prepared to receive such a challenging answer to, an answer that included the hard truth that much sacrifice would be required of him. He may have been hoping for a nice little neat and attainable answer, something like, hey, if you want eternal life, you just need to pray every day or attend a Bible study class, memorize scripture, or give to a good charity. But he received an answer that changed his life because Jesus was not going to give him an easy out answer. Jesus' answer was straightforward and had a sense of immediacy to it. I love the Gospel of Mark because it's the shortest gospel, no, but because it has this sense of immediacy throughout it. In fact, the word immediately comes 40 times, and I like something that just keeps moving and really builds up that sense of this is immediate. Over and over again, we sense the important work that Jesus was doing for the sake of God's kingdom. But this isn't just about what Jesus was doing, because Mark is this relentless gospel which not only invites us into believing that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, but this gospel also works to prove again and again the impossibility of faith. It doesn't sound very hopeful, does it? The impossibility of faith. But let's stay with the story. In an impossible world that we live in right now, it's hard to hear words that tell us how hard and demanding it is to truly be a follower of Christ. Jesus' response to this faithful man shows us just how hard it is to respond to Jesus when he says, "Follow me." I think this is one of the most challenging scriptures in the gospel. It's one that makes us squirm and say, hey, let's go to another chapter and find something a little easier to do. I mean, I think most of us could probably check off our list today, thou shalt not murder. I don't know, during the storm, I was a little testy, but I can still check that off. But for many of us, what Jesus is asking in this scripture is actually more demanding. As we begin to look at the story, I want to look more at the man that was involved. Mark doesn't give us a whole lot to work with here. We know that this anonymous man reveres Jesus as a teacher. He seems to be wealthy and a pious observer of the law. Other than that, we really don't know much about his life story. I think if we knew more about him, it might be easier to say, well, I am nothing like that man, so this lesson that Jesus is teaching doesn't relate to me. For instance, if this man was a millionaire and very greedy, or if he treated others as subordinates, or if he had a really mean streak, we might find comfort by saying, he is nothing like me, so this story is not a lesson I need. By distancing ourselves from this man, we might be able to put more space between us and the truth that Jesus speaks. But let's look at what we do know. This man wanted to be a true and dedicated follower of Jesus, and that's certainly something we can connect with. We also can detect that this man had a boldness as he lived out his faith. The fact that he ran up to Jesus, knelt in front of him, and then asked him a difficult question this man has courage and passion, something that we strive to have in our journey, in our faith journey. We also know that this man was very devout. He kept the law, he had been loyal to God, and he wanted to know what else he could do as a follower. And once again, as Christians, that is something that we can relate to. This devout follower finds himself in front of Jesus, and he's in this humble posture, ready and listening. His sincere question, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" It's not a test for Jesus like the Pharisees like to throw out. He truly wants to know. But does he really want to know? I mean, maybe all he wanted or needed was some assurance, a word of praise for being a good, decent, law-abiding person. Maybe a word of encouragement to keep up the good work. Maybe he just hoped to hear Jesus say that God would be so proud of him, to hear the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." But Jesus gave him a much more demanding answer to this difficult question. First, Jesus lists the commandments that we are called to live by, and this man confidently claims that he had observed them since his youth. Then something happens, and this is my favorite part of the exchange. Scripture says, Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said. Jesus knew this man, his goodness and his shortcomings. And what did Jesus do? He looked at him and he loved him. Jesus looked at him and he sees him as his beloved. Interestingly, this man is the only person in the entire Gospel of Mark that is singled out as being loved by Jesus. Now, we know that Jesus loved others, and Jesus loves us. The truth is, God truly knows each of us, and he still loves us completely, and he still claims us as his beloved. So if we were in conversation like this with Jesus, we have to know that he would look at us with love also. But we would also have to accept that his answer to this difficult question would be as challenging today as it was long ago. Jesus answered, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own, and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." Jesus lovingly looked him in the eyes and shared with him words that caused not only this man, but all who were listening to be shocked. So we could just stop here and say the lesson to the story is, don't ask difficult questions if you aren't ready for the challenging answers. Like, don't ask, "Does this robe make me look skinny?" Because the answer might not be what I want to hear, right? But in this story, the answer was asked. And it's important to notice when the question was asked and where we fall in this timeline of Mark's gospel. At this point in the story, Jesus already had his eyes and his life and his heart and his mission set towards Jerusalem. He knew his time was limited here on earth. And he still felt he had so much to accomplish. He was working so hard to shape the disciples and all the followers into becoming lifelong followers and leaders. He was trying hard to help the crowds to understand God's message that was brought to life through him. Time was running out for Jesus here on earth. And Jesus needed his followers to be fully committed. But after this faithful man received Jesus' sincere and demanding response, the scripture says he left hastily and weighed down with heavy grief. This is the last we hear of this man. We don't know his full story. And so we wonder, was it just the money he didn't want to give up, or perhaps some precious possession? Or was it status and power? Or did he have issues taking part in economic justice and sharing his money with the poor? We don't know. But what we do know is that Jesus' demand on this man's life was not just for him, was it? It wasn't just for those that were gathered around Jesus that day. This message and the difficult answer is for all of us. It's a question that we probably all wrestle with, one that we certainly do better with on some days, a question that makes me wonder if I would be just like this man. Could I accept the difficult challenge to surrender all of me for the sake of the kingdom? Or would I walk away shocked and grieved? The rest of these verses help us understand how difficult this man was, because Jesus goes on and he speaks to the disciples, who he addresses as children because they are still learning, and expands the challenge that he was trying to convey. And when he does, the scripture says the disciples were perplexed and astounded by Jesus' proclamation that it will be extremely difficult, if not impossible, for the wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. Once again, this is about Jesus challenging the social order and turning it upside down. The first will be last, and the last will be first. And this is all very difficult. It was then, it is today. But Jesus made it very clear throughout his teachings that wealth can get in the way of our walk with Jesus. He does not say that wealth is bad, but it can get in the way of loving God and loving others. Here's the good news to the story. As hard as it is to think that we must give away all that is a barrier to living out the great commandment to love God and love others, Jesus gives us hope in this lesson. When the disciples ask Jesus, "Well, then who the heck can be saved if what you're saying is true?" Jesus replied, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." Word of caution, that doesn't mean all things are easy because of God. It doesn't mean that all things will be happy and blessed because of God. This means that if we choose to journey this challenging path, God is with us, guiding us and empowering us. If life is hard and doesn't turn out the way we hoped, God is with us, guiding us and giving us hope. For God, all things are possible, including claiming each of us as his beloved, including forgiving us when we stumble on our journey to follow him. Truth is, we know we are to live our lives out thanks to God's word. And the truth is that we will fall short in many ways, including the truth that at sometimes we will allow possessions and power and selfishness and laziness to get in the way of loving God and loving others as we are to love ourselves. Which takes me back to one of the favorite parts. Remember, I told you that he's the only one in the Gospel of Mark that Scripture says Jesus said he loved someone. Well, there's more. This man is also the only person in the whole Gospel of Mark who walks away from the invitation to follow Jesus. This good, good man walks away from following Jesus, at least at this point in his life. Yes, the man was shocked and left grieving, but we don't know what happened after that. I just can't imagine that this man threw in the towel. I mean, he was so devoted to God. My hope is that there was someone in this man's life that listened, loved, and nurtured him. I want to believe that an elder, a mentor, a friend, a priest, a struggling Christian spoke words of truth into him and over time, he continued his journey as a follower of Jesus. I believe that because I see it over and over again in church. Church members and leaders speaking truth into us and lovingly helping us as we stumble along the journey. For there is not one of us who gets it right all the time. And some of us stumble a lot more than others. And that is why we need church community. Scripture is telling us that discipleship thing is pretty much impossible, at least if we try to do it on our own. We need God and we need community. Jesus calls us over and over again to follow him, and it is a difficult thing to do, but it's a beautiful thing to do, because when we follow Jesus and strive to love God and love others, then we are furthering God's kingdom here on earth. When we support each other, when we remind each other that we are all God's beloved on the good days and on the bad days, when we see the good in each other and name it, when we take on a servant heart, when we love like Jesus, then we are furthering God's kingdom. This difficult story is a story of Christ's love for us and his commandment to love God fully and love others. And we know how hard that can be. But it's also a reminder of God's love and his abundant grace. So as we stumble along this faith journey, may we remember that God is with us, loving us and guiding us. Gracious God, we give thanks once again that the journey may be hard, but you are with us, and that we will stumble because it is difficult, but you are with us. We give thanks for the reminder that through you, all things are possible. And we give thanks for your grace as we stumble, as we forget, as we give up. Gracious God, we give so much thanks for your love and for the church community who continues to hold each other up. Lord God, we give you thanks today for so many things. And we lift praises to you. In your son's name we pray. Amen.